Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, text number 33. Asu guna mayer bhavar. Bhuta sukshmi sukshmendriyatmana
bhi.
Sorry. Svadir nir mitteshu nir vitsto. Bhunkte bhute shutad gunan. Asau guna mayar bhavar. Bhuta sukshmendriyatma bhi. Svanir miteshu nirvishto. Bhunkte bhuteshu tadgunan. Asau guna mayar bhaver. Bhuta sukshmendriyatma bhi. Svanir miteshu nirvishto. Bhunkte bhute shutad gunan.
Bhunkte bhute shutad gunan.
Asau guna maye bhavar.
Asau guna maye bhavar.
Bhuta susma indriya atma bhi.
Bhuta susma indriya atma bhi.
Sani mite suni vista.
Sani mite suni vista.
Bhunkte bhute shutad gunan.
Bhunkte
Anir Miteshu
Nirvishto. Bhute Bhute Teshu Tatuma.
Aso. That Paramatma.
Guna
Maye.
Influenced by the modes of nature.
Bhavai.
Naturally.
Bhuta.
Created.
Sukshum.
Subtle.
Indriya.
Senses.
Atmabi.
By the living beings.
Svanir Miteshu.
In his own creation.
Nirvishta.
Entering.
Bhunkte.
Causes to enjoy.
Bhuteshu.
In the living entities.
Tatgunan.
Those modes of nature.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
The Supersoul enters into the bodies of the created beings who are influenced by the modes of material nature and causes them to enjoy the effects of those modes by the subtle mind. There are 8,400,000 species of living beings, beginning from the highest intelligent being, Brahma, down to the insignificant ant. And all of them are enjoying this material world according to the desires of the subtle mind and gross material body. The gross material body is based on the conditions of the subtle mind, and the senses are created according to the desire of the living being. The Lord as Paramatma helps the living being to get material happiness because the living being is helpless in all respects in obtaining what he desires. He proposes and the Lord disposes. In another sense, the living beings are parts and parcels of the Lord. They are therefore one with the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, the living beings in all varieties of bodies have been claimed by the Lord as his sons. The sufferings and enjoyments of the sons are indirectly the sufferings and enjoyments of the Father. Still, the Father is not in any way affected directly by the suffering and enjoyment of the sons. He is so kind that he constantly remains with the living being as Paramatma and always tries to convert the living being towards the real happiness. Amagyana timirandasya jananjana salakaya chakshun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. So, and here we're seeing the complexities of this material creation. So the living entities, they're put into bodies. And here, it's not just speaking of bodies like ours, the human bodies, but all 8,400,000 species. So Prabhupada speaks about how, according to the desire of the living entity, and also according to the subtle mind. They get a material body with senses that are according to that body. So one time, Lord Indra, he had offended his spiritual master. And his spiritual master, do you know who his spiritual master is? Brihaspati, yes. He cursed him to become a hog. Can you imagine going from being the king of heaven, such opulence, all such wealth, he's in charge of everything, to becoming a hog. So to go from a demigod to a hog is a big step. So he had to get this body for a year. So imagine if you went to a hog body and you still had the intelligence and senses of a demigod, it wouldn't be possible, would it? You wouldn't be eating, right? Because what do hogs eat? All kinds of yucky stuff, anything and everything. That's right. That's how they got that body of a hog. They eat anything and everything. So he had to get the senses of a hog and the body of a hog. And then he was enjoying his hog body with his hog children and hog wives, and he was just enjoying. So then, after the 1 year, Lord Brahma came and said, okay, now you can come back and be Brahma.
I mean, Lord Indra. So what did he say? Yeah, he said, no, thank you. I'm happy here. This is my happiness. This is called Maya. This is the Maya potency that covers us. And it can happen to Indra. What to speak of us? We get so covered all the time by the modes of material nature. So therefore, he finally was convinced, no, you're coming back to be Lord Indra. And he was taken back. And looking back at that body of a stool-eating hog, he was disgusted, right? But when he was there, he was fully satisfied. So the living entities, when they're put into bodies, they bring with them the senses along with the body to enjoy, to try to enjoy happiness in that body. So it doesn't matter what body. There's another story in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Jad Bharat. Now this is a little different, but this shows the mind and the senses of the living entity. Now he was King Bharat. And King Bharat was an emperor. He was in charge of everywhere. And he was a very pious king. So when he was entering the end of his life, he decided to give up his kingdom and go to the forest to perfect his life, to go back to Godhead. So Bharat Maharaj, who actually Bharat Varsh is named after him, he was such a pious king. He went to the forest and to the Himalayas and he started severe austerities. So he gave up everything. But then one day he was sitting there next to the river and a deer was drinking water from the river and suddenly a big lion, roar! Okay. Wake everyone up. And because of that roar, the female deer, she jumped over the river and she aborted her baby. Her baby came out into the river, this tiny little deer. So then the mother got onto the other side and it said that she died. I guess heart failure, being scared like that. So then Bharat Maharaj saw this little deer, this little calf deer in the water struggling. So he went and picked him up and brought him to his hermitage. And there he started feeding the little deer and taking care of it. And the deer grew. And it said, I remember we used to do a drama at the manor like this. And he would be chanting his Gayatri and the deer would be nudging him. And, oh, little deer. So his mind was taken away by this deer, right? So the deer was there, and Bharat Maharaj slowly, the affection for this deer grew, and his spiritual life dwindled a bit. So one day, the deer didn't come back. And Maharaj Bharat was looking all over. Where is the deer? Where is he gone? He's usually here by now. Where is he gone? He was looking all over for the deer, and he died. So what happened? What happens when you think of a body? That's right. He got the body of a deer. Very good. But because he was going for his spiritual life, right? He was trying to become perfected in his spiritual life. That went with him. That subtle mind went with him. So he got the gross body of a deer, but he kept his intelligence as Maharaj Bharat. And he said, I am not staying here with my mom and my dear family. I am going back to where I was performing my austerities, and I'm getting some good association there. So he went back to his pilgrimage, and he performed austerities that said he only ate dried leaves while he was there. But he was hearing from the saints and sages that were around. And by that, he perfected his life, but he had to take another body. And what was his next body after the deer? Does anyone remember? Jad Bharat. Yes, Jad Bharat. And as Jad Bharat, he decided, I am not getting entangled this time. I've learned my lesson, Here I became attached to a little deer and I got a deer's body. Now I'm not going to get attached in this human form again. So he acted like he was dumb. He just acted like a dumb person. And his brothers would take advantage of him. In fact, you know, they set him out in a field to scare off all the crows and things from their graves. He was just, and he just, they thought he wasn't good for anything. His father tried so hard to get him to become a spiritual person and learn the Vedas, and but he just acted dumb. He didn't want to get involved. So one day, some dacoits, they saw him out there, and they decided they wanted to steal him, right, and make an offering to Kali. So they took him, and that's right. And then they were, they put him as an offering. And what happened? Does anyone know? Yes, she came out of her deity, Kali. And she, how are you hurting my devotee, my Lord's devotee? So instead of killing Jad Bharat, she went for the dacoits. So Jad Bharat then went away, and he was wandering around through villages and towns, just keeping totally aloof from everything. And one day, the king's procession was going by, and the king on a palanquin. And one of the palanquin holders hurt himself, so they were less one. So they said, grab that guy from over there, that stupid guy, put him on the palanquin. So Jad Bharat picked up the palanquin and he was going along. But then the king noticed it was a bit of a bumpy ride, right? And why was that? Why was it getting bumpy? That's right. He was trying not to kill any ants. So he was stepping this way and that way, and the king was being jumbled around, and he said, stop! What are you, crazy man? You can't even carry this palanquin properly. Step properly. But again, the palanquin was going on. So then, finally he said, put me down! And he came and he started chastising Jad Bharat. And Jad Bharat was quiet. And then he said to the king, when the king was finished, you are the king now, and I am carrying this palanquin. But before, I was the king. You know, we are in different bodies. He explained totally the changing of bodies and how it's insane to think that I am such a great man, I am the king. Well, the king immediately realized this is a saintly person. This is not an ordinary man. How can we tell saintly persons? Is it by how they act all the time? Exactly, by how they speak, what they speak. So he immediately realized, this is a saintly person, let me take shelter of this person. Okay, so this is showing that there's no loss in pursuing spiritual life. Never a loss. You know, we may be entangled, so entangled in this material world, going from body to body. 8,400,000 species of life. And it's so amazing how the Lord makes this universe, even though this is just his inferior energy. But if you think about every single living entity has its own desires, its own tastes, and not just grouping, you know, the cows are one, the dogs are one, but even each dog, each cow is different. They have different likes, different dislikes. Like we have one cow, and she loves my son milking her. And the other day he was getting back late, so I went out to milk her. And she was okay, but as soon as she saw him walk in the barn, moo, moo, and she started kicking her legs, and she wouldn't stop until he sat down. Then she was fine, and she let him up. So they have different desires and likes and dislikes also. just like us. Maybe they don't have as high desires. They can't have goals of spiritual life. You know, they have simple goals. What are some goals of animals? Yes.
Eat.
Eating.
To stay alive.
To stay alive, yes. Defending themselves.
Sleeping.
Sleeping, yeah. And what's another one? How do they have little animals?
Reproducing,
yes. So these things the animals all do. And you think about, like, if you're in a house and you have some sweets out on the counter, what comes for the sweets? Flies and ants. And you think, how did they know it was there? How could they understand? Like, we have a compost bin right next to our sink. You know, we put all our compost and we take it outside. And during the summer, there's a whole line of ants. They come through the wall, they go on the counter, they go up the bin and into the bin. How do they know that? So in here, it explains that super soul. That's Paramatma. He's helping every living entity to find their happiness. Right? So the happiness of the ant is to eat some sugar, to have something sweet. So Paramatma leads him to that desired goal of something to eat sweet. And all living entities are like that. So even us. And in here, Prabhupada says, we can't do anything on our own. And that is so true. Even to get our happiness, we might think that we're doing it. But we're not. We're incapable. We can make a little bit of an endeavor for things. But the result is always Krishna. Always. It's not our endeavor that makes perfection and happiness. But then there's two types of happiness. Okay? There's one that's prayas. Okay? And what is, does anybody know what prayas is? That's immediate gratification. Okay? So maybe I'm feeling hot, let me go swimming. Okay, so immediate gratification, I would go swimming, right? Or, I'm feeling hungry and I'd love some ice cream. And maybe, you know, you go and get some ice cream or someone gives you. So in that way, you're immediately gratifying your senses. But there's another, shreyas. What is shreyas? It's just the opposite. It's long-term. Okay, you're thinking, okay, I need to chant my japa. I need to do devotional service so that I need to study so that I can do something in this material world, but also go back to Godhead. Okay, so these are our long-term goals. And Krishna also helps us in that. There's actually a little song that we used to sing about the two birds in the tree. Do you all know that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, two birds sitting in a tree. One is Krishna, one is me. I am always in distress, trying to find happiness. You are sitting day by day, waiting for me to turn and look his way. So Krishna, as Paramatma, is always there, just waiting for the living entities. We're just looking for happiness. You know, the picture in the Bhagavad Gita is the bird in the tree pecking fruits. And Paramatma sitting there just watching. He's just witnessing what we're doing. But always sending, if we have any desire at all to find out reality, real happiness. Because I don't know if you've noticed this, but happiness is temporary in this material world. Has anybody noticed that? How much ice cream can somebody eat? Okay, you might start with, somebody gives you a half gallon of ice cream. And you go, oh man, is this all mine? Yeah, eat it. So you eat it. Whoa, it's so good. I never had this much ice cream, it's so good. And then if someone says, oh, do you want some more?
You get diabetes.
You get diabetes, yeah, if you keep eating it. But you might say, yeah, I could have some more. This used to happen. The boys traveling party, Festival of India, they used to do this with the boys. They'd say, okay, have another one. Wow, it's a different flavor, right? So they're eating, and then they're going, they're starting to slow down, right? Why is that? Why are they slowing down? They're getting full. And if you keep saying, no, you've got to finish that one. By the end, they're going, oh, I'm feeling sick, right? So that happiness that started off with the first ice cream becomes suffering. They're feeling like getting sick by the end, right? And material happiness is like that. It's temporary. You get it, and you think, wow, this is going to be so good. And you get it, and you're feeling great, and then you're not feeling so great. And then you need something else that you think might make you happy. So that's the material world. That's our happiness. We're after happiness. But as soon as we realize, I am not happy, this is actually suffering, then Paramatma is there waiting for you to turn, and he'll guide you to what you can do to make advancement in this world and to get out of this situation. Because it appears good, but it's not really. Okay, so there's a really nice verse. One other thing is that material happiness is described to be like, imagine yourself in a desert, okay? And you're going through this desert, and you have no water. You've run out of water, and you're still not at the end. So you're really, really thirsty. And someone comes along and says, well, I've got one drop I can spare for you. Okay, so you're thirsty, like you're about to die of thirst, and they put one drop on your tongue. Will that satisfy you? No. No. And material happiness is described to be just like that drop of water for someone in the desert. Okay, so there's a nice verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We've already passed it, but it says that the living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death. Okay? So we're in those meshes. Everyone in this material world, this Srimad Bhagavatam verse is describing these meshes that one's entangled in, all these different bodies. So it says, they can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy names of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. What a nice verse. That's 1.1.14, Srimad Bhagavatam. So in that way, we just have to take shelter of this chanting. Chanting about the glories of the Lord, chanting his holy names, doing service for the Lord, reading Srimad Bhagavatam and associating with devotees, going to a holy place, all these things purify us. And as soon as we're purified, then we can actually be taken out of this web of material life. Then our real senses, and our real desires take over. And the washing machine. Having a problem. So our real desires take over, and then we want Krishna. Okay? Then we're finished with this material world. And it's amazing, because for me, I was thinking when I first joined the temple, it was so difficult, because I kept thinking, ooh, but I've got to share a room with 50 other ladies, and, you know, there's no air conditioning or fans and the heat. You can't go swimming when you want to. I used to love to go swimming. You know, I've got to do it. I've just got to do it. So I moved into the temple. And some of the things that I thought I could never give up, that were really strongly embedded in me, desires that I had. They just, after every year, I could see more of them going, just going, and not even difficult. You know, normally to give up something, say New Year's, I say, okay, I'm not gonna eat any more sweets for 6 months. I could never do that. I would be like suffering, oh my gosh, how am I gonna do that? Every time I would see a sweet, I would have a hard time. When I'd make the rasgullas, it'd be really hard not to try one after it's offered. You know, it would be very difficult. But Krishna makes things so easy, like things that were much harder than giving up sweets. Krishna just took those desires away. So it's up to us to make endeavor in our spiritual life, and then things that are very difficult become very easy. And it's 100% guaranteed. Because the Supreme Lord, who makes all these arrangements for all these living entities, he's the boss. He's in charge. And he's your friend. So if we take shelter of him, he'll make everything easy, not so hard. Sometimes we have little difficult tests in our lives, but that's when it's time to take more shelter. And then he relieves us of that. They're just tests to test our faith. Do you really love me? Do you really want to come back to me? And the thing is, the happiness in the material world, that's just that little drop. Well, the happiness in the spiritual world is a whole ocean with no end. Okay? We're just happy forever, engaging in loving pastimes with the Supreme Lord. And what could be better? Have you all read Krishna book, yes? You know about the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. So that's where we want to go, not in this drop in this material desert. Okay, so if there's any questions, I'll stop there. Any questions or comments or... Prabhu, we have a microphone? Is there a microphone? Ranga, Vati.
It's on?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Ruchira. That was a really delightful story about Dadbar, a very important story. You made it so easy to listen to and fun. One of the things that you said there was that his father tried to get him to study the Vedas, but he wouldn't study the Vedas, but his objective in this lifetime was only to become a spiritual person and not become attached. So I was wondering why he would reject learning the Vedas.
Well, my understanding is that's part of the Karmakanda, a lot is in the Vedas, and it's part of the Varnashram, but he was beyond that. And he didn't want to get entangled in all of that. You know, he just was single-pointedly going back to Godhead. He didn't want the distractions of sacrifices and penances. And... Is that agreed?
Yeah. Also, there's one more point. I mean, that in a dear body,
he learned the essence of what he was missing before. Also, he didn't have intensity to serve. Mm. And in the dear body, he was very intense. He's prepared that as soon as I drop this body, I get the other body, I'm going to just do full speed. And Mataji's question is very nice, because that question raised many times that why King Bharat did not teach, did not converse with his father, did not teach his brothers, did not give any instruction to the Tyagis or the Dakaits, but he gave full pledge to the Rahuguna. Okay. Why him? Why not others? Mm-hmm. He said because he found his father was trying to teach him the rituals and other, but not the essence of Veda, mm-hmm. the Krishna consciousness. And he was not inquisitive or eager to learn, which he found only with Rahuguna. Mm-hmm. Rahuguna was very intelligent. He was going to Kapildeva ashram and he was very eager to hear and understand. And the brothers, father, Tyagis, none of them showed any interest to hear. Mm. So that's why he kind of, not rejected, but kind of avoided.
Yes, gave up the association.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yes, wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
I was wondering if this verse would also be appropriate for it from the 6th chapter, verse 44, which says, by virtue of his divine consciousness of his previous life, he automatically becomes attracted to the yoga principles even without seeking them. Such inquisitive transcendentalist stands always above the ritualistic principles of the scriptures. Like we mentioned that at the Karmakanda section, it's just, for devotee, it's actually even an offense, you know, to consider Krishna consciousness to be a Karmakanda ritual. Mm-hmm. You know, so once you're above it, you look back at it.
And you look at even Vyas, who compiled the Vedas, didn't feel happy after that. He was, so you know, that isn't the goal by any means. So, yeah, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence and the, anyone else? No. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Prabhupada.